Breaking news tonight, a bombshell from Yahoo, a massive breach, hackers making off with private information from over a billion people. We have late details. NBC News exclusive, U.S. intelligence has directly linked Vladimir Putin to the campaign to disrupt the election, the Russian president himself actively directing the use of hacked material. The price you pay, the Fed hikes interest rates, and your credit card bills, mortgage, car loans, and student loans are about to get more expensive. Invasion of privacy, Uber under fire. A former employee accuses the company of allowing unauthorized access to the movements of 40 million customers. Line of Duty, a supermarket surprise for an amazing mom. And we remember a beloved TV dad. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There is late word from Yahoo tonight of a massive and stunning security breach. The company revealing that hackers may have stolen the personal information from more than a billion Yahoo users. The hack apparently occurred over 3 years ago, but is just now being made public. What's more, the eye-popping breach is apparently separate from the major attack announced by the company just a few months ago. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has late details.
In what is one of the largest hacks in U.S. history, today Yahoo confirms data from more than 1 billion user accounts was stolen in 2013. Private names, email addresses, telephone numbers, dates of birth, even encrypted security questions and answers have been exposed.
The scale of this attack is something that we've never seen before, but we're going to keep seeing these things because now the internet's been around a long time.
Scrambling to identify the person or group who penetrated their firewalls, tonight the internet giant says, we've taken steps to secure those user accounts and we're working closely with law enforcement. But this isn't the first attack. 3 months ago, Yahoo revealed another massive breach when at least 500 million users had their account information stolen. Suspicious a foreign government may have been involved, that hack is still under investigation tonight.
Once a hacker gets your information from Yahoo, they can use that to get into other things that are going to make money for the hacker.
Though it's believed no bank account or credit card information was stolen, security experts say your other accounts, like online banking, that use the same passwords, could now be at serious risk. So Yahoo says, change all your passwords now. Tonight, at least 1 billion users are vulnerable, and so is their private information. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now an NBC News exclusive. What intelligence officials say is evidence the Russian effort to disrupt the U.S. election went all the way to the top, naming President Vladimir Putin, a former KGB chief, as an active player in the cyber operation that targeted Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign. And tonight we've also learned new details about what officials believe motivated the plot. NBC senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden tells us more.
Tonight, NBC News can report that Vladimir Putin was personally involved in the Russian attempt to disrupt the U.S. election. Two senior intelligence officials with direct access to all the information tell NBC News the new intelligence is derived from diplomatic sources and others, including spies working for America's allies. Specifically, a high-level intelligence official tells NBC News Putin's role was directing the use of the hacked material. Putin's objectives were multifaceted. What began as a vendetta against Hillary Clinton morphed into an effort to show corruption in American politics and to split off key American allies by creating the image that other countries couldn't depend on the U.S. to be a credible global leader anymore.
He has had a vendetta against Hillary Clinton. That has been known for a long time. He wants to discredit American democracy and make us weaker in terms of leading the liberal democratic order. And most certainly, he likes President-elect Trump's views on Russia. Now it sounds like we have evidence to support those hypotheses.
So tonight, the question, will the U.S. retaliate against Mr. Putin directly? As part of its contingency planning, U.S. intelligence dug into Mr. Putin's personal empire and concluded that his network controls some $85 billion worth of assets. Lester?
All right, Cynthia, thank you. Paying more for anything is rarely good news, but those who track the economy say today's announcement by the Fed that it's raising a key interest rate after years of historic lows is yet another sign the economy is on the upswing. For only the second time since the Great Recession, the Federal Reserve bumped up the rate banks charge each other, raising it a quarter point. But as Tom Costello tells us, it's going to have an effect on all of us and what we pay for a lot of things.
For just the second time in a decade, the Federal Reserve raises overnight lending rates.
Today's quarter-point rate hike, a vote of confidence that the economic recovery is real. While raising rates slowly so as not to kill the recovery, the Fed is also giving itself room to lower rates again should the economy stumble.
We expect the economy will continue to perform well, with the job market strengthening further and inflation rising to 2% over the next couple of years.
Higher rates mean borrowing will become modestly more expensive, affecting credit cards, short-term loans, federal student loans, and new car loans. Also affected mortgage rates, which for years have been sitting near record lows.
Says the beautiful hardwood floor is that
Doreen Cordillo's realtor told her to expect a rate hike, so she and her family just closed on their first house in New York, and just in time.
We locked in, our interest rate was 3.75. As of Friday, the interest rates were 4.75. So that's a $200 a month difference.
If you took out a popular adjustable rate mortgage when rates were low, experts say now is the time to refinance into a fixed rate.
You want to insulate yourself from that water torture of regular increases that you're likely to see over the next few years as interest rates go up.
Higher rates could be good news for anyone with CDs or senior citizens on fixed incomes dependent on interest rates.
But if the investments you have are interest rate dependent, the increase you're going to see is very minimal.
In the meantime, the Cordillos say their mortgage will now be cheaper than the rent they were paying.
It's just an amazing feeling.
The days of cheap money may be coming to an end as the economy picks up steam.
Yeah, the consensus at the Fed now is that they will raise rates three more times in 2017. Meantime, much of that could depend on the Trump administration's plans for the economy. If the economy grows too quickly, the Fed would have to raise rates faster to keep inflation under control. Lester?
Tom Costello in our Washington newsroom. Thanks, Tom. Tonight, federal prosecutors have rested their case against Dylan Roof, the man charged with killing nine African-American worshipers at the historic Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. They ended their case with emotional testimony and the dramatic 911 call from one of the few survivors. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez was inside the courtroom.
After jurors saw these chilling videos of Dylan Roof taking target practice.
But there's so many people dead, I think. Oh, my God.
Today, they heard the horrifying 911 call from one of the church massacre's three survivors, 72-year-old Polly Shepherd.
He shot the pastor. He shot all the men in the church. Please come right away.
When the gunfire started, she dove under a table. She testified that Roof asked, "Did I shoot you?" "No," she responded. And he said, "I'm going to leave you here to tell the story."
He's still in here.
Then came more gunshots.
What's going on, Miss Polly?
After his arrest, FBI agents asked Roof about the woman he spared.
Do you remember telling that lady, "I'm going to let you live so you can tell my story"?
Yeah, I remember saying that, but, you know, there's really no story.
But investigators say there's a long story that Roof carefully planned out his racist rampage.
Those who died that night simply died because they were there and they were black.
Malcolm Graham is the brother of Cynthia Hurd, one of the Charleston Nine, who was shot at least seven times.
How difficult was it to listen to that 911 call?
It was chilling, and it's heartbreaking, but it was necessary pain, because I think we have a moral obligation to put racism and discrimination and hatred on trial.
Today, Roof's lawyer did not cross-examine Polly Shepherd, telling her, "I'm so sorry."
Sitting inside that courtroom, Lester, Shepherd's resilience and strength seemed incredible. Her story brought other victims' relatives to tears. Meanwhile, Dylan Roof said he would not testify. Closing arguments are now set for tomorrow. Lester.
You can imagine how painful that was. Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. There is late word from Syria of an urgent development of the battle for Aleppo. Reports that a ceasefire may be going back into effect less than a day after the original deal collapsed. It could allow evacuations to resume, while the UN is saying tonight the bombing of rebel-held areas is likely a war crime. Our Bill Neely has the latest.
No ceasefire, no mercy, as the bombs rained down again today on what's left of rebel-held Aleppo.
I am Bilal Abdul. On the ground news.
Explosions caught live on camera. Some in Aleppo now seem resigned to their fate.
This will be a peace for us.
The apparent ceasefire deal between rebels and regime collapsed quickly. These 47 orphans hid underground in this video posted by an Arab human rights group. I'm Yasmin and I'm 10, she says. We're scared. We can't leave because of the bombing. Please get us out of here. The UN says 50,000 civilians are still trapped and in trouble.
If we liberate Aleppo,
but President Assad says he won't stop the assault on Aleppo's last rebels. Even if the city falls soon, it doesn't mean the end of the war. ISIS still controls swathes of eastern Syria and just retook Palmyra. Rebels still hold large areas in the north and south. And Kurds control strips on the border with Turkey. Assad wants them all back. With no evacuation, Aleppo's civilians tonight fear a massacre. They are powerless to stop it. Bill Neely, NBC News.
There was high drama at Trump Tower today as some of the biggest names in Silicon Valley, including some who clashed with Donald Trump as a candidate, meeting today with the president-elect, making amends and laying the groundwork for the future. We get details from NBC's Peter Alexander.
Inside Trump Tower, a clash of the titans, the president-elect, the vice president-elect, and at the end of the table, Donald Trump's adult children, all greeting a marquee lineup of tech leaders, including executives from Facebook, Apple, and Google.
This is a truly amazing group of people. I won't tell you the hundreds of calls we've had asking to come to this meeting.
But it hasn't always been that way. Take candidate Trump attacking Apple's refusal to unlock a terrorist's iPhone.
Boycott Apple until such time as they give that information.
The tech giants returned the favor. Amazon's Jeff Bezos jokingly offering to send Trump to space.
I have a rocket company, so the capability is there.
But tonight, Bezos calling the meeting with Trump very productive. Among the flashpoints for both sides, privacy concerns over customers' data, jobs where tech products should be built, and immigration.
The tech companies, they want to bring high-skilled workers, right, from China, India, Russia. Trump wants to curb immigration, right? So that's clearly a point at which that there's a lot of contention.
And new tonight, Trump's team's revealing the president-elect is now getting formal intelligence briefings 3 days a week, plus a daily briefing from his national security advisor pick, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, himself under fire tonight. A 2010 military investigation found Flynn inappropriately shared classified information with foreign governments, contradicting Flynn's past claim he had permission. The investigation concluding America's national security was never at risk, and Flynn was never disciplined.
Notably not invited here today, a representative from Donald Trump's favorite megaphone, Twitter, that clashed with Trump's team during the campaign over its refusal to create an emoji for the hashtag Crooked Hillary. A Trump transition official tells us tonight there was simply only so much space at the table. Lester?
Peter Alexander, just up the street from us. Thank you. Still ahead, Uber uproar. Our exclusive with a former employee accusing Uber workers of violating customers' privacy. Back now with an NBC News exclusive. Some 40 million Americans use the popular ride-sharing app Uber. But the company is now facing sharp criticism after a lawsuit by a former employee accuses Uber of allowing workers to access private information to spy on customers. Tonight, he's speaking out in a TV exclusive with NBC's Jolene Kent.
Uber has become a nearly $70 billion business by offering a convenient way to order up a ride on your smartphone. But a former employee now says the company's lax security allowed thousands of employees who had no need to track customers' trips without their knowledge.
What I witnessed, there were some real problems with the safety associated with the protection of that data. I would say, you've got to stop.
Former security engineer Ward Spangenberg alleges in a lawsuit that between March 2015 and February 2016, workers were, quote, able to track high-profile politicians, celebrities, and even personal acquaintances of Uber employees, including ex-boyfriends, girlfriends, and ex-spouses.
I could print it out in a spreadsheet and I could lay it then against the Google map.
Spangenberg was fired after just 11 months at Uber, he says, for raising these privacy concerns. Uber tells NBC News he was terminated for inappropriately accessing data himself.
I won't tolerate data access abuse at Uber, and I've helped build out systems at Uber that will detect abuse if it happens.
Spangenberg denies accessing data inappropriately and says that was not the reason given when the company fired him. In a statement to NBC News, Uber says it's absolutely untrue that all or nearly all employees have access to customer data with or without prior approval. We have built entire systems to implement technical and administrative controls that limit access to customer data. All potential violations are quickly and thoroughly investigated. Uber tells NBC News it was adding controls before Spangenberg started at Uber and continues to do so today.
I want people to be conscious of the fact that we are giving away our information and allowing ourselves to be tracked.
If you're worried about protecting your whereabouts, Uber is still an option. Simply turn off the location services function and input manually your address and your destination. Jolene Kent, NBC News, New York.
Up next, how low will it go? The brutal wind chill so many Americans are about to wake up to. Tonight, 48 million people are under advisories from a biting blast of Arctic cold. Tomorrow morning, much of the Midwest will wake up to temperatures in the teens with wind chills that will make it feel like, say, 20 below in Chicago. The cold will then barrel into the east. And up next here tonight, the police mom feeding the force for the holidays. Finally, how many people come to your house for holiday dinner? For one mom, the guest list includes nearly 400, all of them cops. Our Pete Williams has tonight's Inspiring America report.
Welcome to my house.
Shirley Gibson is serving an early Christmas dinner.
Welcome, guys.
Opening her home to honor Washington, D.C. police officers. She and her husband, Harrison, do it in tribute to their son. 27-year-old Brian Gibson was killed in 1997, an ambush shooting as he sat in his patrol car at a traffic light. After his funeral, she tried to figure out how she was going to get through the holidays. Her solution? Cook all her son's favorite dishes and invite his fellow officers.
It makes it great. It starts our holiday for us.
She starts cooking 3 days in advance. It's now so big that she's decided at age 70, this year's dinner will be the last.
Oh, my goodness.
When she arrived to start shopping for the final time, a big surprise. Dozens of police officers met her, forming an honor cordon at the store entrance. Inside, Washington's mayor, Muriel Bowser, with an early Christmas gift. Impossible to get tickets to the city's hottest attraction.
We want to provide you and your family with 15 tickets to go to the African American Museum of History and Culture. God bless
you.
We just have to thank her for all the good meals and all the love and all the fellowship that she's provided to all the officers.
All of these officers coming to my house and hugging Miss Gibson, and you feel their service weapons on their side, and when they hug me, it feels like my Brian.
20 years of honoring a son's memory and serving comfort and love. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
And that's going to do it for us on this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.